As is this conversation with Pete LaRue, who is the chief executive of Saka Lecha. Pete, you guys were on the front page of a report yesterday, and this after you are now urging or putting pressure on it, at the very least, on the new agriculture minister, John Steenhuisen, to withdraw BEE plans for agricultural imports and exports. Just in a nutshell, tell us what it is that's irritating you so.
Alec, I just missed you for a second there, but if you ask in a nutshell, what is it all about?
Well, yeah. Why are you so angry? Okay.
Well, we're not that angry. We're pretty calm. We just let John know in a letter, verbally, that the Agri-BEE regulations published by these Director General Muketsa Ramasori is not acceptable. And they are not John Steenhuisen's innovation. They predate his term as minister, but they are nevertheless still unacceptable. And John has informed us that he was not aware of the regulations now published by his DG, and he's asked his DG for a briefing. So we'll see about that. But we find it unacceptable that exports and import quotas are made subject to BEE criteria. And this is now applied to import and exports to the UK and Ireland and the European Union, also to imports from World Trade Organization countries. And this concerns a certain minority, but nevertheless meaningful minority of agricultural imports and exports, up to 200 million liters of wine, up to 500,000 tons of agricultural produce. And it's not about permission. Absolutely about exporting and importing, but about the reduced duty tariffs. So you're effectively putting penalties on non-BEE farmers.
Why do you call it penalties? Clearly there is a group that is wanting to incentivize farmers to get more BEE in their operations. And this looks like they're incentivizing them by reducing tariffs, not necessarily increasing tariffs for those who don't have it.
No, what is happening is it's an abuse of the international trade agreements under the World Trade Organization Marrakesh Agreement and the EU Economic Partnership Agreements with the EU and with the UK and Northern Ireland. And these agreements have been in place for several years, and the purpose is to reduce barriers to trade by reducing the import and export tariffs for trade between these countries. And there's no intention in these treaties for the one country to impose additional criteria and abuse its administrative obligations. To abuse its administrative obligations. And so what is happening is that the... what is happening is that this abuse is now continuing, and I'm calling it a penalty because that is what it is. It is forcing farmers who don't do BEE to pay, let's say, I think it's about R3 extra per bottle of wine of exports. And on 200 million litres of wine, if those were all in bottles, that would be something like several hundred million rand of penalties on farmers who don't do BEE. Okay, that's why I call it a penalty. You can call it an incentive, yeah. But the government is making the one kind of person pay for this and favoring another and abusing a treaty, a trade agreement for it.
I guess the thing that really does or has to be concerning people is that these ideas were promulgated on the 3rd and the 4th and the 7th of October. So this month, this is well into the Government of National Unity. And they were promulgated by the Director General. And we've heard a lot about the GNU being great, that we can go forward, the politicians are talking to each other. But if the ministers and the Directors General are on different pages, which could be very possible if they're DA ministers, that might be papering over a crack that could hurt us in time. Are you seeing it that way?
Yeah, well, that is what Mr. Steenhuisen has informed us, that he was not aware of this. and that he was circumspect in what he said in his letter to us, but he seems to find this unacceptable, the issuance of these regulations. So we'll have to see how he deals with it. But but Alec, this is completely to be expected. There are several million employees in this government and parastatal environment, and they have not changed with the change of ministers. Just in Johannesburg alone, for example, I think there's something like 70,000 employees on the municipality's books. So changing the conduct of this machine called the state by changing a few senior positions is absolutely unlikely to result in significant improvements in the short run. The ministers in this new government they must try their best, but we must be circumspect in our expectations of how much can be achieved between ministers who, this DG in agriculture, he was part of the design of these regulations from the beginning. He was part of the guard that installed this. And it's unlikely that just because his minister changed, him and his whole department will suddenly stop doing these unlawful things and stop believing in BEE as the solution to problems in South Africa. I think they're as convinced as ever of what they're doing. And there's going to be a big tension between these new ministers and their DGs and their staff. And I think it's, you called our letter, well, why are we angry? I think our letter is just firm and we have to say it like it is. And we will apply the pressure at the appropriate point, which is the minister, and we must ask him to do something about it. And depending on his actions, we will either express our approval or continue with further steps.
Who has the power here?
Well, the initiative certainly this time seems to have been in the hands of the DG. We've asked the minister to have these regulations retracted. We'll have to see. I think maybe a few weeks from now, a month or two or three, maybe we'll know who had the power. At this stage, it's on paper, it's the minister. We'll have to see. Alec, I could add that these regulations are in step with official plans in the department called their Agri-BEE plan and their Agri-BEE enforcement guidelines. These have been in existence for between 8 and 5 years now. And they were developed under Toko Didiza and even her predecessor. And we exposed these last year after we were able to obtain them through a PIA request. But they were confidential and hidden within the department. They were not published on the department's website, even though they were documents of public interest. And these plans, we released them. They're available. The links on our website, the links are there in our letter to John Steenhuisen. These plans are very explicit that it is the intention of the department to make all permits for import and export, or licenses like water licenses, all phytosanitary so-called services that government deliver, every interaction of government with agricultural sector, import or export or production in South Africa. They want to make every aspect of it subject to BEE criteria, initially just as a penalization, and with time or in time as an absolute criteria for allowing or disallowing. And this is explicit in their plans. I'm not saying what I think they're meaning. I'm saying what they are saying. And these plans are also still in place. So our letter to John says, look, Minister Steenhuisen, these recent regulations, we object to them and we will be taking steps, but we invite you to just take them back or meet with us, because the larger problem here is that your government, your ministry's official plans are still in place, and we actually require the plans as well to be withdrawn. And so I think John Steenhuisen, it's a bit of a tough challenge we've put to him, but it is the appropriate challenge. And we must make use of this opportunity of a DA minister to see whether BEE is going to stay in place or not. And I think this is what we'll see in the next few months.
Is it not putting the whole government of national unity at risk? Let's think this one through. There is a National Democratic Revolution program, as we've heard from Anthea Jeffrey at the IRR on numerous occasions. He's even written a book on it. That's in place. But that, to be implemented, needs to have thumbs up now from not just the ANC, but by its partner, which is in this case the Democratic Alliance. isn't there in what you're doing is kind of forcing the point, which may be a little early for in their trust building relationship, or do you not see it that way?
No, Alec, I think we must be careful of hoping for the best within a black box. And, you know, and we must just wait for magic happening within a black box and sit on the outside and accept whatever comes out. It's appropriate to require of ministries and of government, whether it is with the DA inside or not, whether it's with the IFP inside or not, whether it's with the Freedom Front inside or not, it is appropriate to require lawful action, to require appropriate government, to require not making participation in the economy subject to race criteria. Maybe someone would argue, well, Minister Steenhuisen should keep BEE in place or some measure of it because he has no choice. Well, then he must do that. And then that will enable us, as Saakeliga, it'll enable you and your listeners and enable the whole of society to understand what the rules of the game are here. If the government of national unity means BEE stay in place, well, then let's know that. From our side, we're treating this government the same as we're treating other governments. And just because it's called a government of national unity does not change what we expect of from this government versus another government. And so we're not angry about it, but we do want to know what's up.
In other words, hope is not a strategy. Give me the facts.
Yes, yeah. And so let's determine the facts, yeah.
Piet le Roux is the chief executive of the Saakeliga, which is a very powerful voice for business.